yet. But it's a glorious day when morning comes without the feeling of alone.
Good morning. You're tuned into Listen Local, the bi-weekly webcast from your neighborhood news source, Mission Local, brought to you via BFF.fm. A craze has swept the Mission, maybe even the whole Bay Area. It's got tiny hands, a big open mouth, and a shock of orange hair. No, Mission residents aren't jumping on board with the real Donald Trump, but piñatas in his likeness are flying off the shelves. The presidential candidate has a particularly strong presence in the neighborhood these days because we just had the first presidential debate, but Trump has popped up in several places in our coverage this week. With me to talk about that are Joe Ravanoveros. Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning.
And Laura Waxman. How's it going, Laura?
Good. Good morning.
So let's dig into what the man means in this neighborhood. Laura, you went around and interviewed some folks in the neighborhood the day after the debate. What are people saying?
Yeah, it's been interesting. So Mission Local videographer Lola Chavez and I went out, not immediately after the debate, but the next day to kind of catch people's reactions. We started really early, and one thing was clear, the Mission was definitely watching the debate. We interviewed about a dozen people, and out of all the people that we interviewed, we only found one person who didn't watch. And that person called the whole election ridiculous.
Appropriate.
And, yeah, and I mean, I kind of asked him a little bit about, you know, if he was just apathetic or if he didn't care. And he was telling me, you know, out of both candidates, he doesn't really see either one as a potential president. And that kind of seemed to be the theme with a lot of people that we talked to. I don't think most people were too excited. Mm-hmm. But definitely there was a strong push towards Hillary, and a lot of people said that she came out on top.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was widespread. Joe and I and Lydia Chavez, the managing editor or executive editor of Mission Local, were also out at the debate watch parties around the neighborhood, and definitely there was a little bit of, like, oh my God, why are we doing this sentiment? I think that, you know, was clear. Lots of enthusiasm, but also lots of, I want to say, negative enthusiasm. Like, people are pretty unhappy with this election.
I mean, I actually thought, yeah, everyone for sure was a Hillary supporter. But I thought it was to the point where they were kind of reflexively supporting her. I went to the chapel and everyone, you know, would cheer at any jab she landed and any time Trump made a silly comment, even if she was wrong. Like, even if she seemed to say something like, you know, talking about her emails and stuff like that. She made a mistake, and people were still supporting her just reflexively, kind of like they would support their candidate. And it was very much group mentality, like we're all in line, we're toeing the line behind this person.
Yeah, I mean, I think because people are afraid of the alternative, that's
right.
Been pretty much established nationally, that the center and left is like uniting behind Hillary because, God forbid, what happens if we don't elect her? And I think that mentality is widespread in the neighborhood as well.
Yeah, we definitely had one person who was in, you know, actively serving in the military, and he said something along the lines of, you know, if he did what Hillary did, I think it was referring to the email scandal, he would lose his job, his career would be over, he would probably be in jail.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Then he also said, you know, given the options, you know, you kind of have to choose, I guess, the lesser evil, and that's what he believes.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't agree with a lot of things that, you know.
Yeah, and yet, you know, people are rallying, I think. I see plenty of Ready for Hillary flyers and posters in the neighborhood. And I think those were there to a large extent before the primary also. There was certainly a lot of Hillary Clinton support in the neighborhood before Bernie Sanders was ousted from his.
Did you guys find any Trump supporters while you were out, or did you see any?
No.
Of them?
No.
I didn't come across a single one. I came across like plenty of people flipping him off or like, you know, making disparaging comments. One person made this quacking sound while he was interrupting Hillary Clinton that was just like a perfect imitation of what was happening
kind
on
of
the
fitting.
Screen.
That was definitely our challenge for the morning. We kind of set out to find somebody, you know, who had something good to say. But
didn't you originally way back in the day when you did a Man on the Street series asking people what they were thinking in the primary, didn't you find a Trump supporter?
I did. I was really surprised.
So they exist in the Mission,
yes,
for sure.
But I have to say, you know, they weren't from here. I think they were from I want to say the Midwest.
Okay.
But yeah, they were all tourists. Right. But, you know, they did
Oh, they were tourists. They were okay, tourists, so they don't even live here. Okay, so I take that back.
But they were definitely, you know, happy to talk about it, which you don't.
And what was the thinking?
I think, you know, as I remember, this was a while ago, you know, but they were both in real estate. And I think they kind of had, you know, they thought the whole business experience that he brings is good for the country.
Okay, interesting. Want the country to be run like a business.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wonder what they thought of the Mission District if they were here as tourists. Did they tell you?
Should have asked. I didn't go that far.
Well, so there is a Trump supporter in the area. I think we have found that to be at least a couple of them we found in the area. And one of our stories this week was about the fallout of support for Trump, or at least very distinct opposition to Hillary on social media, and that social media conflict sort of spilled over into real life. Joe, do you want to tell that story? I think you're the closest to it because you saw it unfolding.
Yeah, it was and the Form 8 Tattoo, which is a tattoo shop on the corner of 22nd and Shotwell. The boyfriend of its owner is a Trump supporter. I mean, it's not just anti-Hillary. He has on his Instagram account, you know, pictures of Donald Trump saying, "I like Mr. President, hashtag Mr. President, we'll vote for him, whatever. Hashtag gays for Trump," because I guess, you know, he and the owner are together. And very negative images of Hillary. I mean, comparing her to Hitler, asking, "Is she dead yet?" You know. Wow. Saying Hillary for prison 2016.
It's a public account.
And it was a public account until he made it private real quick once people, you know, discovered this.
Okay, but so how did you discover this? So it's not like you're following the boyfriend of a tattoo shop owner on Instagram, right?
So my roommate and I, who live nearby, she pointed out first, and she follows this other Instagram account called Keep Hoods Yours, which is, I guess, a graffiti collective, or maybe they repost a lot of graffiti, and it's very radical leftist, anti-gentrification, anti-colonialism. And they noticed the social media account and reposted it on their Instagram. So then everyone, I guess, started to notice, and then there were pictures of this tattoo shop getting tagged on Friday, and then it got tagged again on Monday with graffiti saying, "Fuck Trump," and, you know, scrawling out the tattoo shop logo, which they thought was like a swastika, was another point of their critique.
Yeah, it's difficult to imagine this if you haven't seen this, but essentially it's a cross with a series of sort of intertwined lines, and the lines are supposed to form eights. Unfortunately, the way they cross, I guess by some, have been interpreted as a swastika.
Yeah, so these guys were branded Nazis, tagged twice. They actually fired the owner's boyfriend, who used to work at the tattoo shop, and then, you know, went on kind of a social media defense saying, "We're not racist, we don't believe in any of this stuff, and you know, we're sorry for his comments," which, you know, were totally out of place anywhere, but in the Mission District specifically. I mean, he has also posts about how immigrants should learn English if they have to be in this country, or be deported, you know, things that anywhere would be questionable, but in the heart of the Latino district of San Francisco are, you know, totally going to get you tagged or something like this, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting to see this play out. In San Francisco's Mission District, if you are openly a Trump supporter, there will be backlash.
Yeah.
And in this case, the backlash was pretty aggressive, maybe. I mean, certainly not physical, so aggressive in a like emotional way, right? Having your
It's property damage, so it's, you know, kind of physical, but
yeah, you know. Yeah. I mean, but we don't know of any confrontation. Yeah. There was no interpersonal conversation. Although I would be interested to see what would happen if they were to be able to sit down together and have a conversation. I mean, can this be resolved?
I don't think so. One of his Keep Hoods Yours, which was the Instagram account that first posted all these revelations, said, "There's no dialogue. No dialogue is possible here. Mm-hmm. They're just anti-fascist, anti-racist, and they just want them out of the neighborhood. They want the Trump supporters / Nazis out of the neighborhood."
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is a radical stance, but if they really believe that these guys are, you know, neo-Nazis or and have Trump ties, then it seems not, it's not entirely fair, but I can understand why they would be so upset about this. I mean, the Mission is already undergoing gentrification, and then you have this real possibility of a president who is committed to against your community, against the Mexican community in particular.
Just to be clear, though, keep hood yours.
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking credit for the graffiti.
No, they, yeah, right.
Okay.
So they said they received a photo of this having been done by somebody else, mm-hmm. and then just posted it on their Instagram account.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me, particularly in light of how much of a phenomenon Trump is in the Mission. I mean, like, clearly there's a lot of frustration and a lot of distaste, you know, like, obviously, I mean, Trump was just boasting during the debate that he's the first candidate to get the endorsement of ICE,
right. mm-hmm.
which is definitely a sore subject in the Mission District, because, you know, people live in fear, and they see ICE as a terrifying, unfair organization that yeah. tears families apart, right? So maybe not striking the right chord here, although
he's not going
suspect that's not his aim, yeah. yeah. But at the same time, it's not just, you know, like, hate. Or people love to hate on him. Like, we just did a story about local stores whose, like, best-selling item mm-hmm. is a Trump piñata.
yeah.
Which is, you know, I just find that fascinating that it's something that people have so much fun with.
They're capitalizing off of that.
yeah, and that's great. I mean, hooray.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to confront this phenomenon of Trump in different ways, right? If you're a graffiti yeah. artist, then you think that a tattoo shop has ties, then you tag that tattoo shop because that's what you do. And if you are a store, you know, small business owner, well, you're not going to do that. So you're going to sell Trump pinatas or something to either capitalize on it, but also to react against it. I mean, I think it's a real sign of opposition, of taking, you know, very Mexican tradition of the piñata mm-hmm. and then putting mm-hmm. Trump in that space and, you know, getting him beaten by sticks.
Bashing
you know,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love it. I think it's great that local businesses are benefiting from, especially from, many yeah, of them yeah. are, you know, one of them, I think in the story was an artisan who was creating these.
From Mexico.
And
right?
he is from yeah. Mexico. Yeah. And it's great that local businesses are capitalizing on a political feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just such an interesting image to me.
yeah.
And I think at one of the local debate watch parties, there was both a Trump and a Hillary Clinton pinata.
Yeah.
But what does that mean? How am I supposed to interpret that? No?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's yeah. Well, they're out there.
Huh. My eyes open.
I mean, I think, yeah. So there was definitely a little bit of frustration with Hillary Clinton as well, especially during the primary, which maybe is getting less expression now because people are concerned about the fallout.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she's not exactly a favorite either. There was that whole hashtag, not my abuela.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
yeah, and I mean, these things are popular. And great, local businesses can do something with that. And it's been a phenomenon for a long time. I mean, I think we were not the first ones to report on it, and they were popular from the very beginning when a local dollar store started stocking them.
Who was it? I think in the story, the Discount City,
mm-hmm.
he said he sold 6,000 since...
5,000,
or 5,000,
yeah.
That's pretty... I mean, that's amazing, I think. It's a lot of piñatas. I wonder if that's like a regular thing.
Yeah, I think it is now. I'm really curious what's going to happen after the election.
Right.
They're going to go away, probably, right?
Do you think?
Maybe there'll be a big
pinata. What if
burning?
He wins?
Oh.
Is this going to be a source of income for local businesses
for
that they
sure.
can depend on for 8 years?
Well, if he wins, we have a lot of other
questions. Yeah, we do have a lot of problems. I'm trying to look on the bright side here, Joe.
That story will be on the back burner for a while.
yeah. Every 6 months, we check back in. So yeah, the Trump pinata is still flying off the shelves. Yeah.
No, but the Trump phenomenon, as you were saying earlier, I think it's really interesting because I think it's really divisive, and I think a lot of people are very extreme about it, you know, as we see with the graffiti artists.
Hmm.
I think a lot of, even my friends, you know, people that I talk to, don't associate with people who support Trump or who have any type of ties to that. So I think it's definitely an interesting thing that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, not to speculate on people's private lives too much, but this example of the tattoo shop got me thinking about what if my significant other was
right.
a supporter of any political stance that I just absolutely cannot condone. It makes me wonder how other people are handling this. I mean, I don't think I have any friends who are Trump supporters, although, you know, if you are, drop me a line. Maybe we can talk about it.
It would definitely be a little awkward. Yeah. An awkward conversation. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
It would be such a deal breaker.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Joe would cut it.
For a Trump supporter, yeah. I mean, come on, listen to what this guy says, right? Like, I'm very shocked that this Formate owner didn't think to either, you know, if he knew, which it sounds like he did, shut that down socially, publicly, just as a smart business move. And, you know, what are you doing as a person in this world? Dating someone who...
Okay, this is like well outside the realm of our place to be.
Yeah, but I mean, just, you're right. Like, if I were in his shoes.
Right, for you personally, if you discovered that. But then on the other hand, like, the dialogue sort of ends. And we're already seeing this phenomenon here also, not just of obsession with Trump, but of reducing everybody who you disagree with to a Trump comparison, especially on our website, for example. I mean, right. People, commenters, which, you know, we can have a whole separate discussion about the caliber and quality of comments on news websites, but that is a really common attack now.
It's the new American Godwin's Law, where Godwin's Law is like any internet discussion eventually reaches a comparison to Hitler. This is now eventually going to reach a comparison to Trump.
It's stacked. Yeah. I think it's like you go to Trump and then you go to Hitler because people are already associating Trump with Hitler.
Right, it's one of the same almost.
Yeah, and everything is reduced to that.
It's nice actually to have our own native like thing that now we can, you know, internet can have its own like Hitler. It's now Trump is an American version, which is nice.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm so glad that we
as long as he doesn't win, it's nice.
Yeah. Well... then we'll just see an explosion of that. It'll just continue.
Yeah.
I mean, even at City Hall, you see people comparing each other to the policies of Donald Trump. Seen press releases.
We've been compared to Donald Trump.
Have we really?
From the mayoral aide Tony Winokur once said that we had propaganda just like Trump's propaganda or something, and it was just like,
wow,
Tony, what are you doing comparing local journalists to Donald Trump?
Well, I don't know, but. Is our propaganda Trump level? Do we have propaganda? No. I wasn't aware.
No, I don't think we have propaganda. Wait,
what was the context of this?
It was the story on Mark Leno speaking to Pride. I think it was the Dyke March. And it was just like...
it was a trans march.
It was the trans march, yeah. So the way that we reported on it, I guess, was not as accurate as we could have been. And I think we fixed that. But the first reaction was, Mission Local has Trumpist propaganda... Trump-like propaganda.
That's,
you know,
interesting, because it was it was
quoting people from the crowd who were hypercritical of Leno, of Mark Leno, who's a state senator.
Oh, I see.
Who is gay, and, you know, has done a lot for the LGBT community, but I guess a lot of the people in the trans march felt that he hadn't done enough for the trans community, specifically in regards to housing and other issues. Mm-hmm. And they were very critical, and we didn't get at that the criticism was aimed at other people also, not just Leno, so it seemed like we were singling him out, I think, from the article.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, tensions are high. I mean, what can you say? The people really care about this election.
Yeah, it's just a reductionism. Like, everything like Trump, it's so easy to just say, oh, you're being Trumpist. Yeah. Which is like, all right.
And then speaking of Trumpists, I mean, there were a bunch of funny words and terms that came out of that debate, too. Yeah. I think you tweeted one, Joe. Remind me what it was, braggadocious?
Badly. Well, braggadocious is a real word.
He said it himself, yeah.
But I was surprised that he knew that word.
I'm not being braggadocious. Yeah, I think.
That definitely lightened the mood a little bit, maybe.
Yeah. People loved Hillary's line. I guess probably universally, but particularly no, people didn't like that.
Yeah, that was stupid.
At least, I mean, where I was sitting, people didn't like that, and who I was following on Twitter,
she could have
done what line did they like?
Yeah, but they really loved her. I'm being criticized for preparing for this debate. I've also prepared for being president. And I think from all of us who were at different debate watch parties, that line was like definitely a winner.
Yeah,
that night.
For sure.
Even the people that I interviewed that the next morning, you know, most commented on her appearance and kind of the way she carried herself and, you know, her smiling and kind of keeping her composure. I think people appreciated that.
Yeah. And yet the internet reacted by criticizing her for smiling like she was at her granddaughter's birthday party.
Something
like that. Yeah.
I think that wasn't even the internet. That was like a CNN commenter. Like, it's not.
Oh, classy.
You don't even have to reach into the annals of the internet for such atrocious comments.
Yeah, where I was sitting, there was a group that came in just at the end of the debate, and they were very enthusiastic. And then they sort of leaned over to discuss with me at the end of the debate, you know, who had done better. It was a group of men, and they were focused specifically on the feminist aspects of her candidacy, which I thought was really interesting. And I think this was also a group of people, from what I gathered, that were pretty strong Sanders supporters during the primary, and so were somewhat critical of her history on, you know, welfare LGBT reform, rights. But you know, now they've come aboard, and it was just so interesting for me to see that their observation of this debate specifically was all the feminist talking points of how often she was interrupted and things like that.
She was interrupted a lot. I mean, a lot. And like, part of it is just that Donald Trump is a particular candidate, and he would interrupt a man also. But she, because she's a woman, I'm sure she got interrupted even more. I mean, it was off the charts. And I think she got interrupted by, you know, the moderator, Lester Holt, more than he interrupted Trump, too.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly she's got an uphill battle.
Yeah, there was also, in the bar I was in, there was a lot of enthusiasm for the comments that she made about his past comments about women.
Yeah.
Calling them pigs and dogs, I think. And then he called her, I think it was her ad in which she quotes him about women. I think he called that mean. I got a laugh, too.
I mean, it's amazing. His support with women is like almost, it's very low, and it's like not quite zero, which is his support with Black Americans. But I'm sure Hillary Clinton's like relentlessly pursuing the fact that he said all these atrocious things with women, against women, are really digging into his numbers.
Yeah, and I personally enjoyed that locally, that was at least hyper locally in the spot I was in, it was something that people were really paying attention to.
Yeah.
You can't unsay what you said. So. No.
Well, he tries, though.
I know. The whole fact-checking thing is...
Yeah. Oh, and then there was somebody who was saying, you know, one of these days Trump is going to look a reporter straight in the eye and deny he ever ran for president. I think this neighborhood at least will be happy to forget that little part of history, or at least happy to, you know, put it behind us.
We'll see.
Ugh, we'll
November
see.
November 8th.
November 8th.
Right around the corner.
Yeah, and I think until then, pretty much all of Mission Local's coverage is going to be exclusively local elections. I don't think we're going to touch this topic again unless at the second debate.
Here, yeah.
I mean, certainly it's something that's on people's minds. He is a person who's on people's minds. Yeah. But, God, there's a lot going on locally. We have, like, a dictionary-sized voter guide. Did you get yours already?
No, I signed up for the email version, which you all should have, because it's a killer.
There's an
killer
email version?
Of course.
Oh, my God.
And
educate me,
Joe. You
won't
be killing as many trees, because it is gigantic. It's 25 ballot prepositions, which, you know, I don't know about you guys, I as a journalist don't know them all, which means that the voting public does not know them all.
They definitely have to catch up.
No, we will. I'm sure we'll put out a voter guide, at least for the ones that have particularly concentrated local effects.
Maybe which are all of them, because they're all ballot,
great.
Local ballot propositions.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll get there.
And I think we should also plug our own debate coming up.
Yeah, we have a debate coming up October 13th.
A debate between whom?
For the District 9 supervisor race. So it's between all four candidates, Josh Arce, Hillary Ronan, Iswari Espana, and Melissa San Miguel. And October 13th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Mission Cultural Center. And it's free, so please come.
Yeah, please everybody show up. We want you there. There will be an opportunity for answering submitting your own questions
online now or at the scene.
In fact, we have a poll going on Facebook. Mm-hmm. If we haven't listed yet one of the topics that you want to see them discuss, let us know. We are, our ears are open, our email inboxes are open, all the channels are open. Tell us what you want to know.
What are some of the favorites so far, some of the topics that people
definitely
about?
Fires, everyone wanted to talk about fires. Small business was another one, and I think transit, which is obvious. And then we'll also be talking about, you know, policing and homelessness and housing.
I imagine will be top of the list.
Well, those three, the housing, policing, and homelessness, we're just going to talk about. I don't care how many people want to talk about those.
It's important.
Okay. Yeah. The moderator is stepping in. It has been decided.
But you can decide on the other ones.
Okay. Yeah. So Facebook, we have an event on Facebook. If you're subscribed to our email list, you should have gotten an invite for Eventbrite. Please RSVP so that we know that you're coming. If you are a Mission Local subscriber, a member of any kind, business or reader, we are happy to save you a seat in the front. We want to take care of our members. We want you there. We want you to take advantage of everything that we have to offer there.
Yeah.
And I think we will be back 2 weeks from now with our usual news and notes from the neighborhood. If you know something we don't that you think we should, shoot us an email at info@missionlocal.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/missionlocalsf or tweet at us. Our handle is @MLNow. This also brings the Thursday morning talk session to a close. Stay tuned for a musical, emotional roller coaster on Abuela's Pantry up next. Thanks for listening.
My friends say I could do best, but to you I'm changed. Right here in this train.